Life's a Beach, written by Hilly Anthe and read by Corey Pagonia, for the fandoms of Marvel Cinematic Universe and the relationship of James Bucky Barnes / Steve Rogers, also including the characters of Sam Wilson and Natasha Romanoff, and the additional tags of socialism, speedos, day at the beach, humor, and not canon compliant. "Hey man, wake up," someone says distantly. Bucky does more than wake up. He launches himself out of bed at whoever is talking to him, and in under 3 seconds, he's holding a knife to the throat of a very surprised Sam Wilson. "Shit, man," says Sam. "I thought you heard me coming." Very carefully, Bucky releases him. Then he extracts the earplugs from his ears. "I wake up at every little noise otherwise," he explains when Sam raises his eyebrows. "So no, I didn't hear you coming." "My bad, dude," Sam says, wiping away the drop of blood that had welled up at his throat. "I was looking for Steve." Bucky hands him a tissue, feeling more like he should feel bad than actually feeling bad, then looks at Steve's side of the bed. It's empty. "What day is it?" Bucky asks. Sam is instantly on edge, much to Bucky's irritation. You threaten a man with a knife, and suddenly he's worried you're brainwashed again. Ridiculous. "Do you know who you are?" Sam asks cautiously. "Can you tell me what year it is?" "I'm the guy that's going to use a calendar to murder the next person to ask him that," Bucky says, and ignores Sam to consult his phone. It is, as he had suspected, Saturday. This meant that Steve was at Brighton Beach doing Steve things, such as encouraging a civilian uprising against the government and picking up litter. He says as much to Sam, who blinks and says, "Oh, Jesus Christ, the beach cleanup is today? I was supposed to help with that." "I really don't see how that's my problem," Bucky tells him, and moves to put his earplugs back in. Sam grabs his arm and ignores his unimpressed look. "Oh no, you're not getting out of this that easily." "Steve said that I didn't have to come if I didn't want to be in the public eye," Bucky informs him. Publicity stunts have always been more his gig anyway. "You mooned a Fox News reporter last week," Sam says. "I think you're fine with being seen in public, and you just don't want to get sunburnt while picking up slimy plastic." "Wow," says Bucky. "You know, just last week, you were lecturing me about being too cynical." "Get dressed, man. You can wear that swimsuit Natasha bought you and scandalize all the conservatives," Sam tells him. "Oh, is that what that is?" Bucky asks sarcastically. "I figured it was a newfangled handkerchief based on its surface area." The swimsuit in question is a Speedo patterned like the American flag. Bucky will never admit, even under duress, that it fills him with the sort of horrified glee he usually reserves for reality television. An hour later, Sam has developed an eye twitch he is valiantly trying to hide, and they're pulling up to the beach. Bucky keeps one hand on the wheel and reaches out with the other to attempt to press a finger to the twitch. He ends up poking Sam's cheek. He turns it into a pat. "Shh," he says, "It's okay." Sam stares at him. "I'm never riding in the car with you again." Becky shrugs, unconcerned. "I like to go fast," he says. What was the point of spending half an hour on your hair if you were just going to go 20 over the speed limit with the windows down? Sam wants to know. Becky tilts his head side to side so Sam can see his cheekbones and admire the artful, windswept bun he'd worked so hard on from all the best angles. "You wish you looked this good." "Ugh," says Sam, and finally unclenches his fist from the panic bar to get out of the car. Locating Steve turns out to be easy, because he's also wearing a patriotic Speedo and is in the process of excavating the remains of an entire car. "One of us is going to have to change," Becky informs him. Steve turns around at the sound of his voice and gives him what might be the brightest smile in the history of the human race. "You came," he says. "Sam made me," Becky says, which does nothing to stop Steve from hugging him and getting super soldier sweat and normal people sunscreen all over him. Steve limits himself to clasping Sam on the shoulder. "I'm glad you made it," he says. "Thank you for bringing Becky." "Becky brought me," Sam corrects. "I think I have gray hair now. Does he always drive so fast?" Steve blinks at him, momentarily stupefied, then gives Becky a judgmental look involving a lot of eyebrow. "You don't have a driver's license," he says reproachfully. "Neither do you," Becky says defensively. At the same time, Sam goes, "What the fuck do you mean you don't have a driver's license?" "Would you look at that," Steve says. "I have to dig up this car and save the environment and tragically miss this argument. I really do sacrifice everything for my country." "You're an asshole," Sam and Becky say in unison, and then glare at each other. They go to the volunteer sign-in stand, where they're greeted by a cheerful Natasha. "Hey, fellas," she says. "Please sign in and write down your email address or phone number if you're interested in hearing about future volunteer activities with the environmental branch of the Avengers Initiative. Remember, you don't have to be a superhero to do superheroic things." Becky is fairly certain that she has finally ascended above the rest of humanity and gotten to the point she can imply smiley face emojis with just her voice. "Why do you get to sit under a tent?" he asks grumpily. "I'm very pale," she informs him, "and I don't magically heal from things in 2 minutes like some people I could name. Also, please help yourself to a biodegradable paper cup and the provided water if you get thirsty. Stay cool while being cool and helping our planet." "Did you come up with that yourself?" Sam wants to know. She ignores him in favor of offering Becky a sticker that proclaims him to be an Avenger. It has Steve's shield on it. "If you're going to act like a sulky child," she says. Becky sticks it to his metal arm, flips her off, and marches over to grab a bag and one of those garbage grabby things. He can hear Sam in the background trying to talk Natasha out of a Hawkeye sticker. Unsurprisingly, Steve has managed to find trouble in the 6 seconds he's been left alone. For better or for worse, this time the trouble is in the form of a perky brunette and her cameraman, instead of a terrorist organization. She turns to the camera as Becky approaches and says, "There you have it, folks, straight for the man with the plan himself." Stay tuned for more as we continue to cover the Avenger Initiative's first annual beach cleanup. "What did you tell her?" Becky asks, with no small amount of trepidation. Because with Steve, it's kind of hit or miss between a harmless PR speech and a political rant. Steve gives him the most wide-eyed, innocent look he can manage. "I just think socialism is neat, Buck." Well, at least the picture of Bucky mooning that reporter would be out of the news when the media started trying to digest Captain America, the socialist. "Me too, pal," Bucky replies, and leans in when Steve wraps an arm around him. "Did you tell her you supported a carbon tax for corporations?" "Of course," Steve says smugly. "And I got in a bit about tax loopholes, too." Bucky hadn't really wanted to come, being of the mindset that donating money to causes he believed in mostly absolved him of also giving them physical labor. But looking at Steve and the waves and the swarms of people laughing and doing something they believed in made him feel lighter inside. Yet another thing to add to the list of things he would never admit. He pinches Steve with the garbage grabber thing and skips out of range to look for trash further down the beach before Steve can retaliate. Today would be completely worth an hour or so of aggressively peeling sunburn later. The end.